If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Atsar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings and the love of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight our topic is Awakening from the Dream of Separation from God. So tonight we continue our journey without distance to a home that we've never left. And as we awaken from the dream of separation, it will be one of such incredible return to original innocence, purity, and joy. That is our true state. So let's take a deep breath and just place yourself in your mind's eye, in your intention, in the presence of the Beloved. I'm seeing the Beloved coming in an intense violet-purple behind my eyelids. And that's how the Beloved often appears unless you give the Beloved a form. But the form and the name is often left to your heart's call. It doesn't matter, really, to the Beloved. The Beloved simply is that most beloved of Beloveds that everyone knows of intimately in their heart of hearts. So placing yourself in your intention is how you place yourself anywhere in time and space. Your body may be any place, but you are not where your body is. You are, in fact, where you place your attention and your intention. So to have experiences on the inner planes, it's very necessary to have the intention towards that. And then to create a suitable milieu for that to occur. In other words, if you want to be upon the ship of Ashtar, visualize yourself upon the ship of Ashtar. If you want to be in the heart of God, mock that up. Visualize what you conceive of as the great central sun throne realms, or however you conceive of the most glorious divine positioning. This is how you exercise your spiritual inner awareness to have real experiences and adventures. We call it soul travel, but really there's no such thing as travel. What you're doing is replacing one viewpoint with that of another viewpoint. And then the atoms of the universe rearrange themselves to accommodate your preference. But always you decide. Energy follows thought. Thought then drives the unfolding scenario according to how you orchestrate it. You see, beloved, you can never be unlike your Creator. Your Creator is creative, and so are you. Even in our most deluded, illusory, ego-bound state, we still were powerful enough to dream this nightmare that we see on the news every day. The happiest, beloved, most absolutely joyful news that I can convey to you is this. Everything, and I mean everything, that we see taking place in the outer world is going to dissolve into pure joy and love. The entire world of suffering and pain and death will entirely disappear with our awakening. Yes, it's only been a bad dream. That is all it has ever been. And now, the light of Christ is lovingly awakening within our mind to reveal the real world that God created. You see, the very instant that the so-called fall occurred, when we bought into that insane idea for just a nanosecond of what if we're separated from God, and with that silly thought came the whole parade of fear and guilt, in that second, the Holy Spirit immediately brought the correction, because the Holy Spirit is the bridge to reality. It is the one that understands that we bought into the illusion, but doesn't buy into the illusion himself. So that second, that little illusion, that tiny insane thought entered and created what we call the ego mindset, he was instantly healed. And so all we're doing now is reenacting the past in an unhealed nightmare that was already healed out of time in the heart of God. We don't have to wait, beloveds, to ascend, to be raptured, to be translocated into the new earth, to wait for 2012 or 2015 or whatever. The ego's always got a timeline it keeps inserting out there to delay our moving home now. The instant that you're truly, truly desiring with every fiber of your being to return your mind home, it's done. Just that simply. When you want peace more than you want to be right, more than you enjoy your conflicts and your debates, your doubts and your dramas, when you want that more than anything, more than your next breath, you'll have it. No one can deprive you but you. No one can delay you but you. You are the dreamer of this entire world of dreams. He doesn't have any other cause. Never has had, and never will have. And nothing but a tiny little fearful thought has terrified you and caused you to be miserable in self-inflicted guilt, which you cover in all sorts of ways. So all the defenses we have that guard us from the awakening are part of that ego mind, which always doubts the wondrous and the miraculous. So let's just allow that little part of us to dissolve into the eternal love that is the reality. Let it just entirely disappear. And let us choose, and choose consistently, to see the world through the eyes of love. You know, the chakra system and where we're parked in our assemblage point, which means our predominant focus, pretty well conditions how we see the world. And the human state, the ego-bound state, generally is focused through the first three chakras of security, sensation, and power. I mean, the whole dynamics of the world you can view in terms of these three chakras and the world that appears from that perception. Now, when the consciousness moves up into the heart and you begin to view the world through the eyes of the heart, the entire world is transformed into paradise. This is true vision, with a capital V. You're beginning to see through the mind of Christ, that Christ consciousness state. And that's what we're looking at. Awakening from the dream of separation from God and returning now without further delay to that place that has always been safeguarded for us. For God has a creation, the real world, that has never, never, ever been affected by the nightmare. In fact, God, as I've said before, the Creator, had nothing to do with the nightmare. He corrected it. And as far as he's concerned, it never happened. And that's the attitude that we need to adopt. This world has been a bad dream. It never really happened. I know it's hard to sometimes take that on board when you've had a really bad nightmare. We've all had them, and we really, really think that they're real when they're going on. And yet, how wonderful it is when you awaken and you realize, oh, it was just a dream. And we're told in the Course of Miracles, which provides our lens for viewing this evening, we're told in the Course of Miracles that the awakening process, the awakening process will be just like that. We will suddenly awaken and find we have never left the heart of God. We're part of God. We're one with God. We're eternally the love of God. And that's going to be a joy and a reunion and a sense of beingness that it's been said no one has imagined in their wildest dreams what God has prepared for his beloveds. So the entire world is suffering and pain as it entirely disappears with our awakening, gives way to the revelation of a world that is perfect and divine in every way. We have been, in fact, only seeing the contents of our own subconscious, which carries the imprinting of every experience that we've ever bought into or believed or taken on board, whether illusory or true. It all resides in the subconscious. And then that subconscious mind projects it upon the innocent and blank screen of life. We have never really been here at all, ever, but we thought we were. And as you think, there you are. So again, you are not where your body is. You are where your thought focus is, where you identify self, where you intend self to be. There you are. That's why your thoughts are everything, beloved. Your intention is everything. In fact, Sai Baba goes on to say that intention is God. Wow. Intention is God. It's called sankalpa in Sanskrit. Sankalpa is God. Wow. So we are now learning to see all things through the eyes of Christ, who reminds us, behold, I make all things new. Christ is another word for your true self, the anointed one, the anointed and uniquely begotten Son of God. Is you, is Jesus, our elder brother, is everyone. And the Holy Spirit of truth is within you now. And his holy thoughts are in your mind now. And you can find them if you close your eyes. And with all your heart, seek the holy thoughts of God within you. The thoughts of God's perfect and beautiful creation that you've never left. The thoughts of home. The thoughts of how perfect and pure and holy is everything in the innocent sight. And those thoughts are waiting. That is the only purpose you have a memory for, is to remind yourself and return your mind to the truth that you remain as God created you. So there's a gradual transfer in how we think and see and how we decide to think and choose to see. There's a beautiful lesson in the Course of Miracles, which I like so much. It's, above all else, I want to see. And that is an evocation through the reality within you to replace the erroneous nightmare that we have bought into. So we choose to see the real world. It's a choice we make. The one that exists just beyond the fog bank of our subconscious projections. The Christ light within our mind has both a function and the power of transforming how we see everything. And so, the process that most of us have been through in the spiritual path of healing and clearing and releasing and forgiving and transcending in our higher awareness is how we move gradually back into right-mindedness or Christ consciousness. This is what we do. But the most powerful spiritual practice we can ever adopt, I believe, is to keep reminding yourself that in highest truth, I have never left the heart of God. I remain as God created me in perfect holiness and peace. And that applies to everyone. Nobody is doing what they seem to be doing on the newsreel. It's all storyline. It's all dream figures. I know it looks real. I know it looks awful. I often remind myself when I'm watching the news, it's like, oh, I am so grateful none of this is real. I'm so grateful none of us has left the heart of God. I'm so grateful that we're all part and parcel of God and home safe now. So to dispel that fog and to reveal a world aglow with divine perfection and peace is the job of the Holy Spirit within you, who gradually, if you will ask Him to, will reinterpret the world for you. So we need to realize that there really isn't anything that we need to do here. The world is an effect of an illusory thought. There is nothing that needs to be fixed. There are no great dragons to be slain. There are no great crusades to fight. Nothing at all needs to be done except to return your mind to truth and allow the Holy Spirit to restore it to right-mindedness, clarity, and peace. From that transformed mind, you will see a world transformed. Now bear in mind that we share a collective mind, a collective subconscious. So if you could see the collective almost like a tub of muddied water. Every time you make a choice to see through the eyes of love and to forgive instead of judge or critique or react in a negative way, every time you do that, it's like pouring a glass of pure water in that tub of muddy water until eventually the whole tub and all of the contents of the mud is replaced by fresh and clear water. This is what we do. This is the living water that each of us is a carrier of. Each of us is a chalice of living water that is the Spirit of the living God within us. And as we allow that Spirit of the living God to decide all things for us, to be the advocate, the adjudicator between that which is real and unreal, to be the decider that this is the way in which you walk in it. This is the way of life. As we allow that divine spirit to order our steps and to guide us and to reveal us everything that we are to say and do at any given moment, that's why there's no need to think ahead, oh, what will I do? What will I say? It's given to you within the moment. Sufficient unto the day is your daily bread, your daily portion, your daily allotment, your daily grace, your daily faith, your daily light to see the next step ahead. That's how you walk with God in faith. You know that every moment is sufficiently supplied and endued with that whichever it is that you need. You can absolutely rely upon that. That allows you to have such a tranquil spirit, such a serene brow, such a light-hearted gait, such a ready smile and a warm embracement of everything and everyone that you stand out as quite different in this world of worry and mental angst. This is how you reveal the glory of God's presence and the greater plan. This is how you serve humanity and give them hope. My goodness, people need exemplars of unruffled serenity and peace, of absolute surety and security within a world that is not here, but a world in which they have entered in consciousness. This is the greatest, greatest blessing we can bestow upon humanity as we who are indeed the ground crew, the celestial emissaries that are here visiting Earth to awaken it to its divine inheritance and heritage. You know, we are much like the Star Trek Voyagers in the sense that we enter the holodeck in costume and we say the lines appropriate to our particular character, but we enter in never forgetting who we are and from whence we've come. And even though we're in the holodeck, we're not part of that programming. We are inserts of reality. Beloved, you are an insert of reality into the time-space continuums of illusion. To awaken and extricate consciousness that has become entrapped in the brambles of mind traps and mental conjurations and labyrinths of becomingness and silly things. Beloved, that's what a Melchizedek is. That's why we always have the shepherd's crook. It's to catch those little lost sheep that have been entrapped in the brambles. But how can you be a good shepherd if you're lost yourself? So all you need to do is to turn your heart, mind, and life to the good shepherd and allow a new interpretation of life to be taught to you from within by the Spirit of Truth himself. Everything that's true is happy. Everything that's true sets you free. Everything that's of God brings you peace. Everything that is told to you by the inner voice that is of God is always supremely loving and embraces the highest good of all concerned. So simple to discern between the ego's thought system and the Holy Spirit's thought system. The Holy Spirit always counsels in love and affirmation, comfort and exhortation. It always encourages, it strengthens, and it comforts you. That's how you can tell. It's the genuine, prophetic, revelatory voice of the Spirit of God within you. Those three things define a prophetic word. It builds you up and strengthens you. It encourages you, and it comforts you. True prophecy has nothing whatsoever to do about time and space and looking at events that may or may not occur on the timelines. Has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the revelation of the truth of God. And that revelation remains always the revelation of the face of Christ. But beloved, when you have awakened, when you see through the eyes of your heart, you will not see any face but the face of Christ. The beloved's face will shine from every single encounter with another. You will lose sight completely of what they seem to be doing because you will simply be looking at them with such love, such appreciation. I sometimes do that with people, and they'll ask me, "Why are you smiling?" I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I was just captivated by the beauty of the divine that I see in you." And it kind of takes people aback because they're not used to being looked at that way. But it's become second nature for me. And it will become second nature to anyone who will choose and make that their priority, to see the face of Christ, to see the good, the praiseworthy, the beautiful, the uplifting, the sweet, the things that we can point out as being, oh, that is so wonderful, because the more energy you put into the beautiful and the miraculous, the more you will strengthen it in the world, and the more it will counteract the effects of so many ego minds projecting dreadful scenario for the world at this time. We are here not to lend fuel to those scenarios. We are here to fuel the divine plan, to birth the kingdom of God upon earth. In fact, our statement from the Ashtar command is, I am a guardian of the light. I am love in action here. Cooperating with the Ashtar command, I am dedicated to the kingdom of God upon earth, interplanetary fellowship, and universal peace. So again, we are inserts of universal fellowship and interplanetary peace and joining. We are the ones who are dedicated to the restoration of God's kingdom, which is actually an inside job, which then reflects in the changes of the outer way we see the world and the way we choose to function. So we are entering, as I've said before, a cycle of collective awakening. It's simply the time for this to occur. And Ashtar told me the other day that with the 2012, what's going to happen is it's going to feel like suddenly, instead of walking into the wind, suddenly the wind is at our back because we have been not in direct alignment with the great central sun. So even though this is again part of that illusion of separation in time and space, experientially you don't usually go from being dead asleep to being absolutely awake and enlightened, because it's too great a shock in terms of our ability to process that psychologically. So generally, you'll go from the ego's nightmare into a series of happy dreams. And the whole dialogue about walking the spiritual path and becoming realized and enlightened and moving into the fifth dimension and the new earth, all of this you might call a quote-unquote happy series of dreams, because they're pleasant. And you're not fully in the awakened state, because then you realize there's, you know, you are where you are, you don't need to move anywhere else. But in the interim, between being completely identified with your physical body and material life, which is the third density, you go into the happy dream stage, which we could call the fourth dimension, and then finally you awaken within the all that is. And then, you know, God's kingdom is restored, and all is well. So the cycle of awakening is a time where everything in the universe is cooperating for the awakening of humanity. We are all going to be resurrected. Absolutely no one will be left out of this process. And so the only thing that needs actually to be healed ever is where the problem exists. And the only problem we have is our belief in separation from God. And so the only place that healing needs to occur is at the level of the mind and the thought system. And our mind needs to be trained to abide in truth. This is what Jesus meant when he said, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you shall ask whatever you will of the Father, and it will be given you. And he also said a similar thing when he said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It was all about how we align our minds. So the healing begins and ends with the mind. And the trainer of the mind is within you as the Spirit of Truth. That's why, as the Spirit of Truth is now being poured forth on all flesh, we are dreaming happy dreams. We are hearing the Word of God, the true prophecy, which builds us up and comforts us and strengthens us so that we can truly walk in a more self-realized, Christ-conscious state until eventually we move into full restoration, our God-consciousness, and then all you perceive is yourself, the one divine love. So even as the nightmare of duality and evil dreams began with an error of perception within our mind, so will these completely vanish as our mind is restored to truth. And remember, I love this statement from the Course in Miracles, nothing real is threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. That is something we need to really put up on a 3x5 card where we can see it. So, the end of the nightmare of our seeing of a world seemingly being torn apart by violence rests in healing our mind and our remembrance of who and what we have always been and remain still, which is ever one with God in original holiness and perfection. And so if the healing of our mind is all that's involved in escaping from this negative version of the world we imagine we see, what do we need to do to awaken? Well, you know, it's really quite simple. We make no decisions or judgments about anything. We really don't know what anything is for. We don't know how to see it. We don't know how to interpret it. We certainly don't have enough information to judge ourselves or anyone else. So what we do is to allow the Holy Spirit within us, the light and love, to govern our decisions. We turn to God for our interpretation. We don't just assume and run off half-cocked thinking that we know what to do or what to say before we check in and discern whether or not this is really of love and light. And if it is, and of course you'll have the immediate feedback of clarity and peace and happiness. There'll be an uplifting feeling to it, and you'll just know that you know that's a clear thing for you to do. Otherwise, you don't get into it. You just stay out of those areas that are dubious and doubtful. So the Holy Spirit will join with your every loving choice and thought and crown it with success. That's why you can never fail. Love always, always prevails. Whatever you do with an intention towards love is going to have a really good outcome, even if it doesn't look so at the time. So Jesus in A Course in Miracles has asked us to do one thing that's very important. Before we get into fear and shrink, he's asked us to turn to him first before fear arises. Once fear in any form has arisen, it's proof that you have already made the choice to follow falsehood. So remember, false is always, fear is always false evidence appearing real. So once you buy into fear, you're following the wrong guide. So that's why you need to repent. And repent really means to stop and rethink. That's what the word literally means, rethink. So stop and rethink your choice and choose again. If it's not producing love in your life, choose again. Choose the loving. And fear is never appropriate. You just don't need to go there. So fear indicates again, that we're following falsehood rather than truth or Christ. And in this choice, we've chosen an error. And actually, this repenting and choosing again is the only true doing that we need to be involved with. We just choose simply between love or fear. You know, basically, or truth and falsehood, same thing. So That's, you know, just a consistent spiritual practice that we are being called to do now. Sai Baba had a beautiful bhajan he used to sing to us. In fact, he sang it about 4 inches from my face one day. And it's, love is your form, truth is your breath, bliss is your food, your life is your message, expansion is your life. No reason for love, no season for love, no birth, no death. And you know, when you contemplate each line, it's exactly what we've just been talking about. So I'm going to share it with you. Love is your form. In the unified field of quantum consciousness, our unique soul signature of love is what defines our individuality. Without love, you have no form. in the quantum unified consciousness. Isn't that interesting? No love, you don't show up. So love is your form, your unique soul signature of love, which is different from anyone else's, just like a snowflake. Truth is your breath. God breathed his breath into man and made him a living soul. And that breath is what we know as the Holy Spirit, which is also the Spirit of Truth. So, you know, Sai Baba just cuts to the chase. Truth is your breath. Bliss, or Ananda as it's called in Sanskrit, bliss is your food. You know, the experience of our divine nature as love and eternal truth beyond our body and human persona gives rise to that state we call Ananda, or divine bliss. And that is real nourishment. And every single craving of our tongue or other senses is simply for this bliss alone. Some of the yogis and saints of both Eastern and Western traditions have existed without any other form of nourishment indefinitely. And that's because they were in the state of Ananda, or bliss. And Jesus told his disciples when they were concerned that he hadn't eaten, I have nourishment that you know not of. My nourishment is to do the will of the Father. So we are fed when we do the will of God, which is to be in that state of divine unification, which then produces that sense of bliss. We have to be one with God to experience that bliss. And this bliss, or Ananda, will give radiance to the face, luster to the eyes, energy, vitality, and youthfulness to the physical body. And some yogis, like Babaji, and he's actually known as the Deathless Guru, and Lord Adama from Telos, and some of the ascended masters are hundreds and even thousands of years old in the same body. And, you know, it's up to the individual's preference and mission. But it's entirely possible to immortalize one's body through the power of bliss. And again, this is up to the prerogative of the Ascended Master, because some of them do come into the world and choose to leave their body. Jesus, of course, set the template in place for all of us by overcoming death entirely through resurrecting his body by the power of the Holy Spirit. So he set that in place for you and me and everyone, so that we will all be resurrected without exception through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, again, Sai Baba says, it is love alone that can confer immortality. So love confers immortality. And then he goes on to say, your life is your message. I did a whole show on that. Your life is your message. Your actions and your behavior speak far louder than anything you will ever say with your mouth. And another line from Baba's little bhajan is, expansion is your life. Well, we are awareness, consciousness, bliss, or Sat Chit Ananda, which means ever expanding. You can't confine awareness. You can't confine consciousness. You can't confine bliss. These keep expanding and including and expanding and including. And that's what we call God. This expansion of life is God. Then the lines go, no reason for love, no season for love. It took me a long time to realize what that meant. But it means that both reasons and seasons and any condition added to your loving is of the ego mind and not real love at all. Real love is always unconditional and entirely impersonal. Yeah, unconditional and impersonal. Doesn't have an impersonal agenda attached to it. And that's what is called in Sanskrit prema. And in Greek it's called agape. And unfortunately, in English, we only have one word for love, which we use indiscriminately for just about everything. But it doesn't really mean a thing unless it's unconditional and impersonal. Then it has no reason and no season. It simply is. No birth and no death. Both birth and death are illusions arising from a deluded mind. Yeah. Hello. So our focus then is on the cause of the dream, which is losing sight of our eternal oneness with God, and undoing the dream by consciously choosing to replace erroneous beliefs with truth. People spout the most untrue things about themselves, not realizing that they're simply speaking out of ignorance because they haven't done the study to really know what's truth. So the first thing you need to do is your homework. You need to get into a truth system. I recommend the Course in Miracles. The Bible is also excellent if it's read properly. If you interpret every character in the Bible as states of consciousness in yourself, like everything's inside you, then you see it's a series of stories about what different states of consciousness lead to, how they do the dream, and what happens to them as a result. And then you learn to live like the Christ self that you are. So, but you need something. You need some thought governing training, which the Course in Miracles is what Jesus gave for these times, because we were not getting his message. It was getting all interpreted through the ego rather than through what his original intention was, which was to reveal that the Father and I are one. That's what he came to reveal. And we still haven't gotten it 2,000 years later. So he gave the Course in Miracles back in the 70s. And that is his answer to our present state on this planet and how to get out of the nightmare that we have created, that we keep watching on the news every day. So your number one key to freedom, according to Jesus, is to forgive yourself and others of what they never did. That's right. They never did. So you're forgiving yourself and others for what you and others have never done. That's right. If this is all a bad dream and we've never been here locked in a body in a fear-driven world ever, then nothing that has seemed to take place has really happened either. It's all part of the dream scenario. So Jesus in the Lord's Prayer set this teaching long ago when he said that to be forgiven ourselves, we must first forgive others. And in the Lord's Prayer, the line is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And some other versions of the Lord's Prayer state it this way, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, this is a really good thing to do if you have somebody that owes you money and they can't pay you. Really, really release them from indebtedness if you want to be set free yourself of being indebted to someone. Really, set everybody free. Don't hold anything against anyone that you don't want held against you. And karmically, the same thing applies. Forgive us our karma as we forgive those who also seem to be karmically interacting with us. Because again, none of us has been here. None of us has done any of this stuff. Therefore, when you watch the news, this is something I do, and I suggest you might want to consider doing it yourself, and you see things that push your upset and reaction buttons, and there's plenty out there that could do that, instead of going into reaction, center yourself and say, I forgive you, and then name whoever, whatever it is that you're judging or reacting to. I forgive you for what you never really did. And I choose to see the Christ in you. Now, the more you see the Christ in that person out there who's threatening to blow us to smithereens, the more you forgive them and see the Christ in them, the more you will call that Christ-conscious presence forward in them. If you see them as the Antichrist, you're going to really increase that Antichrist kind of persona in them. You see what I mean? It's important to see what you want to have, not your worst nightmare. So quit projecting the worst case scenarios on the planet and on elected officials out there and various world leaders. Quit doing that. Begin to forgive them for what they never really did and choose to see the Christ in them instead. And you could also practice viewing your own life more and more as a stage play. In fact, all of life. See it as a stage play with people acting out various dream sequences. And you can even make a game out of it. This is a fun thing. You could even teach your children to identify, depending on the content, whether the person is having a nightmare or they're in a happy dream sequence. And then forgive them and pray for their awakening. You've got to pray. You know, Jesus says in the Bible, pray for your enemies. Forgive them and pray for those who despitefully use you and overcome evil with good. That's the same thing that the Course in Miracles teaches. It's just that we believe first that there's an enemy. We didn't get the fact that there are no enemies unless we put them out there. And we see the log in another person's, or we see the chip in another person's eye through the log in our own eye, to, again, phrase something Jesus has warned us about. So neither you nor they have done anything at all that ever really happened. It's all unreal. All the negative scenarios, the murders, the crimes, the abuse, the torture and torment. Oh, I know, it looks really real. It feels really real. It seems really real. Dreams, when you're in them, seem real. So the Holy Spirit understands you're having a really bad dream. And so the Holy Spirit doesn't awake you all of a sudden, because then you would go into a shock. But gently and gradually, like your mother comes in and begins to stroke your hair and begins to gently, shake you on the shoulder and say, honey, darling, wake up. Hello. It's just a dream. Wake up. And like that, you know, you gradually awaken to look into the face of your sweet mother. So actually it's guilt, our own self-indictment, which then we project on other people, that is what is holding us incarnate on this planet. That is exactly what keeps us recycling and bound to karma. That's why you absolutely need to look at what you're afraid of and what you feel so guilty about, and use the word of God, use the truth of God to replace the belief that probably you've never really sat down and looked at logically and confronted it with the word of God. So take something from the Course in Miracles or the Bible or a truth that you know is absolutely so, and confront that guilt, confront that fear. And you'll find that when you do, when you face it, it's like, what in the world am I judging myself for? What do I think I've done that is so unpardonable? And, you know, every unhappy thought, every sadness, every depression, if you look at it, beloved, you'll trace it back to a sense of guilt, a sense of self-doubt, a sense of lack of confidence in who and what you are, and a buying into the unreal and the illusion. So look at your guilt. Look at your fear. What have you judged yourself for? Do you judge yourself when you do have a bad dream and you killed somebody or did something in the dream that was awful? Do you wake up in the morning and judge yourself for that? Of course not. You laugh at me, oh, it's just a dream. So that's how you need to look at your life. You know, when you accept salvation, which you've spoken to from the biblical viewpoint, when you accept salvation, all of your past is wiped off your slate. It is finished. It's done. Jesus completely wipes your slate clean. That's why that thought system is so effective, because it allows you to start anew without any reference to your past. You can drop addictions. You can drop all sorts of patterns in a second by believing that Jesus has taken that burden already to the cross. That's why I suggest that as a very, very effective thought system, because it works. And whatever works and gets you to focus on the Lord instead of your own guilt and your own sin and your own transgressions, whatever gets you focused out of that and into a new life in Christ has got to be a good thing. So guilt will hold you faster to this world than anything else. And where you judge yourself, there you're going to have to come back and eat your judgment. What that means is generally, when you judge yourself, which is any time you judge anybody, you're always judging yourself, just projecting on someone else, that means you have to come back in that person's exact condition so you can experience what that's like. So if you judge someone, for example, that's a prostitute, guess what's coming up for you in your next incarnation? If you judge someone because they're a homosexual, or you judge someone because they have a skin or a culture or a belief system that's different from yours, or even if they're a so-called, quote-unquote, terrorist, whatever you judge, you have wedded to yourself for another incarnation as that. So for heaven's sakes, release yourself and release others from the indictment of guilt, which always comes back on you, and judgment, which always then becomes the next thing you have to walk out. Just learn not to have an opinion about stuff. Learn to not cherish opinion. You don't need to have an opinion on everything. You know, most of the stuff going on in the world is none of your business. It's God's business. Your only business is to love and forgive and to see the face of Christ wherever you look and to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey Him and walk in the ways of love and peace and charity and kind-heartedness and goodwill with your brothers and sisters on this planet. That's it. That's all you need to be concerned with. So, you don't need to fix yourself or the world or anything. Love and life is real, and fear and death is unreal. So focus on love, focus on life, and fill yourself with that divine spirit that will indeed, from inside out, transform your life and awaken you into that place, that in highest truth you've never, never left. So these various states will begin to grow in you, and you'll begin to see a world that becomes more and more beautiful. You'll notice that as you awaken spiritually, the colors are brighter and more vivid. The music is sweeter. The sense of nature become more and more evocative to where you begin to see God everywhere you look, and everything gives you a state of bliss. And you begin to notice the beauty in people and the beauty in animals, the beauty in everything. And when that occurs, you know you're starting to move into that heart vision that beholds everything as the beloved. And you'll notice that all of the negative states and moods and things that distracted you from the happiness and the holiness that is your nature, they just fall away. You don't have to pay any attention to doing anything with your ego except ignore it. You know, don't feed it. What you don't feed eventually atrophies and falls away. So don't keep feeding the things that you don't want more of with your attention. Withdraw your attention and your allegiance to things that give you misery. And place your attention and your allegiance with things that uplift you and keep you on the path of joy and ananda and bliss. That's all you need to do, beloved. So, that is basically how we slip beyond the realm of illusions and the ego's nightmare and move now upon the ascended earth. Resurrect now into that which everybody's now projecting on the date of 2012. Don't do that. Don't buy into more timelines and delaying tactics. Move now into the fullness of who you are. You've got all the support in the universe, and no one decides that timing but you. So decide what's important to you and go for it. And know that you will succeed when you choose love. So live in grace, love, and truth. Choose that as the way that you live and walk the earth ascended, whole, and free in radiant Christ-conscious majesty. And that's my topic for this evening. Ashtar Command and myself and all of the forces and benefactors throughout many, many worlds and realms are standing with you and cheering you on. Let's go out chanting. Anai Hu. Deep breath. Anai Hu. Anai Hu. Anai.